So every week on RN Drive, we take a tour of the world of social media through the eyeballs of a special guest to see what things have been piquing their interest. You know, what are they into? Because often it's not the same as what we're all into. This week, my guest is Jessamy Gleeson. She's a feminist commentator who researches social media, feminism and online activism. Jessamy, welcome.
Welcome. Hi.
It was pretty difficult to miss the image of President Trump surrounded by male colleagues that went crazy on Twitter this week, that image. What was going on in that picture?
It was Donald Trump surrounded by men signing away their health rights of women around the world. It was a pretty horrific image, and it was something that I don't think you'd ever see the reverse side of, you know, seven or eight women standing
wouldn't
around.
Wouldn't that be hilarious?
Wouldn't it be amazing? Someone photoshopped it online. That was one of the first things I saw, was this shared image of seven women signing away the rights of, you know, men's right to, you know, contraception and healthcare. But it's something you'd never see. So effectively what was going on was Trump was signing a gag order, something that, look, admittedly,
Most Republicans do straight away.
So he's not out of the ordinary there. But signing away the rights of women, or, you know, to fund programs that also fund abortion or contraception. So it's thousands and thousands of women worldwide, not just in America, but worldwide, that will be affected by that decision.
Now, the Netherlands has responded to Trump, but reinstating that global gag order by setting up a fund to try and make up some of that, what, $600 million funding gap. Yeah. How do they plan on doing that exactly?
Look, to be honest, they're actually getting other countries involved too. So it's not just the Netherlands now. There is one woman in the Netherlands, a minister, who said, yep, we're going to do it. We're going to fund this. But it's not just them alone. So they've also involved Canada, because of course they have. It's Canada.
Oh, hello. They've got that hip guy running
Absolutely. Yeah. Justin, I think is his first name. Yeah. And then they've got a few others involved too. So a lot of countries are signing up to help out with this fund. Yeah. It's just that the Netherlands have got this complete front runner, this amazing woman who said, yeah, we're going to do it. And we're going to bring other countries on board. Yeah.
Yesterday was Australia Day, of course. It's a day that brings out a lot of emotions. Obviously, social media has increasingly become a place where people express that. Now, you know, a lot of people are in favour of the date staying. Let's be clear about that. But many others are now, you know, hashtagging this Change the Date movement. It's a protest hashtag referring to changing the date of Australia Day. Now, BuzzFeed reporter Alan Clark tweeted that the number of people using it on social media had gone up 1,200% since last year, right? Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a huge amount that it's gone up online. The discussion's gone up online and offline as well. And it's really gained momentum, that whole movement to change the day. Yeah, and it peaked yesterday.
That's interesting. What do you reckon made that happen?
Look, social media, full stop, increased awareness, actually talking to people online. It would also
Because it isn't a new issue.
It's not a new issue.
Every Australia Day we have this debate.
Yeah, we do, but we don't usually have, you know, 50,000 or so people showing up in Melbourne to protest it. That's a huge number that appeared yesterday, estimated between 25 and 50,000 people. So to have that sort of activism on the streets and then have, you know, a 1,000% increase in the hashtag is pretty phenomenal. As to why it's happened, I guess it's a bit of a resurgence against the kind of, you know, right-leaning more politics that we've seen recently. So to unfortunately put it back on Donald Trump, and then to see some of the other issues that have reflected that in Australia, you know, deaths in custody and the Don Dale riots and, you know, those kind of things have really thrown a light on the fact that they're, you know, Indigenous people in Australia don't have the same sort of rights that we do.
But you think it's a reaction to Trump, even though it's a different issue that is making people more active generally?
I think it's a reaction to more conservative politics generally. And I think that we can see that captured in different ways. We had that with the Women's March last week as well, and we have it in this way, you know, today. So intersectionality is really important, and to have people actually realizing that you can still show up and put your feet on the ground and support these sort of causes.
Can I ask you a question, which is just sort of, you know, because you're obviously a feminist, you're a commentator. One of the critiques of the women's marches from the right side of politics is, you know, you don't see women getting really active around issues of, you know, forced marriages, genital mutilation, all of these real Sharia law, which is very oppressive to women in many countries, and that it seems that white feminists in the West kind of get really angry about Donald Trump but don't seem to get active about the other forms of oppression women face. Do you think that critique holds some water?
No, I don't think it does. I would be deeply uncomfortable to wade on in there and stand up for women in their own country who want to protest their own rights. I would be happy to support women who, you know, identify as Muslim if they would like to protest that kind of stuff, but I would never wade on in there and step on their own toes.
But Trump's American. So
Trump is American.
Effectively protesting about something already happening in another person's
country. Yeah, I think there's a bit of a religious difference there as well. Trump is you know, he isn't coming from thousands of years of culture that, you know, Muslim women do, I would be happy to, you know, protest Trump because, you know, I am a person of colour, but I'm also white presenting. And so for me, that cuts a lot closer to home than these kind of issues. I would happily lend support to any Muslim women if that's something that they want to protest against, and I have previously, but I would be deeply uncomfortable. And I think it really detracts from the issue to try and point out that, you know, all these things are happening elsewhere, so why don't you focus on them as opposed to how good you have it in Australia, which quite frankly, it's still the root of the same cause. I mean, patriarchy is patriarchy, and it comes out in different ways in different countries, and how we're dealing with it here in Australia and there in America is just different steps further down the line, or just in different ways that it may be more subtle than that what women in other countries are.
All right. The hottest 100 was yesterday. It's always on Australia Day.
Yeah. I'm only human, can't you see? I made a mistake. Please just look me in my face. Tell me everything's okay.
So I got it. Sound familiar? You've probably been hearing quite a bit of that track over the past 24 hours or several months. Flume's Hottest 100 winner, Never Be Like You. What was your reaction to it? What was social media's reaction to it?
Look, again, I travel in certain feminist bubble circles, so the reaction was somewhat unsurprising in that a lot of my fellow, you know, activists were saying, what a surprise, a white man's won the Hottest 100 and come in at number one again. But in saying that, women did fairly well this year. It was one of the better years for women. Women came in spots number 2 and 3. Tash Sultana came in number 3, which is fantastic. But it's always disappointment.
Beyonce made it in.
Beyonce, of course she made it in.
I'm really happy.
Yeah, I'm thrilled that Beyonce made it in.
Rihanna made it in.
Fantastic. I think that's great. And I'm not here to, you know, argue for or against the commercialization of Triple J. I don't mind at all. But Beyonce, that, you know, Lemonade is a work of art. That song, she should have got more than one. The reason I voted in the Hottest 100 was because I could vote Beyonce songs. I'm way more interested in that kind of stuff than some of the other things that, you know, placed higher.
You and I are on the same wavelength there on Beyonce and also on just, you know, successful commercial music sometimes that you just can't help but like. But, you know, there's a female vocal in Flume's song.
Yeah,
I don't know. I've always...
It's a good song. It is a good song. Yeah, it is a good song. And I mean, of course, it's number one for a reason because it's a damn good song. But the issue of women, you know, actually placing in the Hottest 100 cuts deeper than what just the voters are saying, because you can't handball it back on them and not hold some responsibility yourself. I'd like to have a look at how many, you know, feature artists Triple J have played that are women, you know, feature albums, how many times they've had women in there to, you know, do interviews or launch their new albums when compared to male solo artists.
They have been making a concerted effort to try and address that because I think they're pretty...
Yeah. Because they can't escape the criticism that people are putting on them,
sadly. I think
a lot
of good women there would like to see the same kind of outcome.
Absolutely.
But then again, it's a democratic process, right? So the people vote.
Yeah, votes are votes. And they did have more men voting than more women this year too. I mean, you can't, you know, say that it's just down to the women to vote for the women and vice versa. Not everyone is as guilty of me of voting for 10 women in the Hottest 100, which is what I unapologetically did. But, it is a democratic process, and I just like to see them supporting as much as they can women as well and keep on doing that until we get one in there one year.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Jessamy, thank you for coming in.
No problems. Thank you.
Jessamy Gleeson there. She's a feminist commentator and researcher.